Blog Talk Radio.
Off and running here. I know some people have had trouble getting into chat, and I'm sure they will dribble in over time. But today is an amazingly an important topic to be talking about, because it's dreams, and dreams people take lightly, and they shouldn't. And certainly, if you've read through the volume of material that I sent you, you'll begin to understand just how important they can be to us. everybody has been looking for a way to tune into the higher consciousness, to get a clear channel to the higher consciousness, to find that bridge to self-awareness. And we come with one of those tools already sort of installed. It comes standard with the bodies that were issued at the point of birth. And that's dreams. Now all of us have tried from time to time different kinds of tools to tap into that spirit within, that higher consciousness, that link to the infinite wisdom that is out there. And it is sometimes bedeviling to me that people don't first look at the tools that they came with that were already installed. There is a link to that. There is that bridge is there. And it is the aspect of dreaming. We all dream. Even animals dream. And scientists are beginning to actually give greater respect to the aspect of dreaming. There are lots of studies out there, and you know, they talk about REM sleep, and they talk about the dream state, and they talk about alpha, beta, delta waves. The reality is dreams are very, very important to us, and they are a tool that we can use to understand not only what we're going through, but they can be precognitive and premonitional as well. They are amazing, and it is a wonderful, wonderful tool to use. And it's so wonderful that it's been in use since the Aborigines. There are records of the Aborigines using dreams up to 65,000 years ago. Recording of dreams in Egypt is traced back 2,000 years B.C. David interpreted a dream for the Pharaoh, and he, you know, got himself a real high office because of it. They're important, but it's, I think, important above and beyond everything. Everybody realized that they are symbolic. They are not meant to be literal. And I think that what happens is that sometimes we are so startled by what we're dreaming that we take it as the gospel and carved in stone, and that's not exactly the way it should be. Do androids dream of electric sleep? I think you mean sheep. No, but I do believe that artificial intelligence does dream. I do think, and it's think, not know, hear that, I do think machines do have a form of consciousness, and that they do have memory. They have memory, and from memory they can draw symbols and they can do all sorts of things. I think sometimes, if any of you have ever seen fractal stuff, I think in many ways fractals are a way that computers dream. So it is actually an amazing thing to think of a machine actually having a dream, but I do believe they do, and they go to sleep. We put them to sleep or we turn them off. So, yes, I believe that not just androids, but all machines, those that have memories, do dream. And you go ahead and try to prove that one. But it's something that I believe, I totally believe. I also believe that so many times we are afraid to reach for the symbology. We are afraid to utilize the tools that we're given. That's why we reach for tools outside of ourselves. The dream state, the daydream state, and the dream state are both states in which higher consciousness is able to sort of infiltrate into our consciousness and leave us symbols. Hear the word symbols. And that's what happens in dreams. We are given symbols. I know I sent you a lot of material, and a lot of it was repetitive, and it was repetitive for a really, really good reason, to show you that the different people, different elements of the population have different interpretations for a lot of the symbols that happen in dreams, and some of them have the same interpretations. So take that as you will. The best way to do it is to figure out what the symbols you get for yourself in dreams, what they mean to you. That's the best way to go. But if you don't want to go that way, I did include a link to a huge dictionary on interpreting your dreams. If you want to drive yourself nuts, be my guest. As with everything, if you whack out of it and get fanatical, you can drive yourself nuts. And that's not the intent of dreams. Dreams are meant to sort of give us information, give us insight, give us other alternatives, and if we utilize them in that way, they do become precognitive or psychic. And you know, all dreams are precognitive and psychic. It's just a matter of how do you want to really look into this and how do you want to interpret it. And again, your interpretation of your symbols is the best way to go. And it's only because it comes from you, from your experience, from your vocabulary, it's unique unto you. So that it's really more important for you to have your own dictionary. But, you know, some of the things occur over and over and over again, and I would say that they kind of hit stuff on the nose and noggin, but you can get caught up in over-analytical stuff, over-analyzing things. The aspect of symbols in dreams transfers also into your consciousness when you are trying to gain insight into situations in your life. And oftentimes in meditation, and meditation comes close to the dream state if you're doing it right. And I refer you back to the notes on meditation we had. I'm not going to go into that one again. But it really has to do with understanding your consciousness, and your consciousness allowing and being comfortable with allowing another level of consciousness to blend with it for a time, so that the bridge is connected, so that there is a flow of energy back and forth between the two levels of your brain. When you're asleep, the higher consciousness is able to flow in, to leave symbols in your conscious mind, to give you all sorts of insight and wisdom and direction. They can be warnings of things. They can be letting you know of, you know, the direction you're going. They aren't meant to be specific. In other words, if you see someone close to you die, that doesn't mean they're going to actually die. In 1% maybe of everything it does, but for the most part, it means a part of the relationship is dying. It means that something is not well. It means a lot of different stuff. But don't be frightened when you have a dream and somebody close to you dies in the dream, because there's something going on inside of you that is dying. One of the philosophies about interpreting dreams is to interpret them from the standpoint that you are every person in that dream. You are every aspect of that dream, because it comes from you and it is about you. You are all aspects. So it takes practice to interpret your dreams. And they say that it takes up to 3 weeks for a precognitive or psychic dream to manifest. And I'd be pretty comfortable with that. They do talk about having a dream journal, which, again, really good idea. And they do talk about, you know, how to do it. I mean, I found their steps unbelievably intricate, but appropriate. First thing in the morning when you wake up, write down what you've gotten in your dream. Don't get up and take a shower and then sit down and try to do it, because the dream is going to be gone. Once your consciousness wakes up, there's a plethora of material that flows into your head, and it shoves the dream right out, because you're worried about what am I going to wear, am I going to be on time, what am I having for breakfast, and all of the other things that happen to us after the first thing after we wake up. So if you're interested in moving into working with the dream state, you know, follow some of these laws, follow some of these suggestions, because they actually do hold great validity, actually. I was very surprised. I was, you know, delighted to see that The Aborigines have been keeping dream records going back 65,000 years. That's, come on, guys, that's very impressive. Are there any techniques I can recommend for better recollection of dreams? Well, the first thing is, before you go to sleep at night, tell yourself you're going to remember your dreams. We are, after all, electromagnetic beings, and in a way, an incredible computer. And when you put in the suggestion before you go to sleep, you do remember your dreams. There are lots of different philosophies as to how many different dreams you have at night. Sometimes it's one, sometimes it's five or six, and depending on where you are in your development and what you want to what you're going through, you could have a tremendous number of them. I recurring dreams are really trying to tell you something about yourself, what's going on. And sometimes we ignore the fact that our dreams are a form of communication. We don't pay attention to them. We sort of poof them off and it's like, well, I had that nightmare and I'm really glad that's over. But the reality is, it's really important for us to pay attention when we have those recurring dreams, because they do mean something. They are telling us something. They are trying to point a finger and saying, you have to pay attention to this aspect because things are going on here. And sometimes we tend to try to blank ourselves out and to not recognize things. Oftentimes, the most glaring place that is in relationship. And oftentimes, if a relationship isn't appropriate, we will have disturbing dreams. And, you know, it's sort of our higher consciousness saying, have you not been seeing the red flags we've been waving at you? And, you know, if you haven't been seeing them, then pay attention and the bad dreams go away. Bad dreams are really a good thing to pay attention to because they are telling you, they are trying to tell you that something is going on. Higher consciousness does everything it can to inform us of what's going on within our reality. And it's a little bit scary sometimes how well that works. Our higher consciousness is that link to the infinite, is that place that we want to go so badly, and yet we don't use the already installed tool that's there. We often go outside of ourselves and look for other tools that will make that connection for us. The dream state is a phenomenal tool to use because it's already installed. It's kind of like, you know, on cars, when you buy a new car, there are certain things that come as standard equipment. Dreams are standard equipment. If you deprive a person of sleep, they will have a very hard time of it emotionally, intellectually, physically. It's something that we need. It's a way that we tap into our higher consciousness. It's a way that we check out past lifetimes. It's a way that we get information on what's going on within our lives, within our reality, and it's a wonderful way to point us in the right direction. So many people today are looking at psychics and mediums and pendulums and cards and crystal balls and all sorts of other tools that can be used but are not really appropriate to depend on too much because they become a crutch. Your dream state, however, is constantly in motion and it's constantly controlled by your higher consciousness. Couldn't be a safer, couldn't be a more more intense way to get information. Couldn't be your higher consciousness has only your own good, you know, that it's looking out for. It is there to help you on your journey. It is there to guide you on your journey. It's priceless. When you're using a tool like a pendulum or cards or any of the I'm going to give you at some point in time, there's a whole list of all the different ways that people try to tap into higher consciousness, and it's I'll send it to you one of these days. I have it all ready to go. But with those tools, your consciousness has some say into what's going on. And as soon as your consciousness gets in here, there's a manipulation. And then the tool does not become as accurate because your consciousness, your ego, is trying to control the directions that you're being given. That's why when people talk about their guides, which is really their higher consciousness, and they pay attention to that because it's their higher consciousness, but their higher consciousness doesn't take the form of Saint so-and-so and Saint so-and-so and Master Charge and all of those guys. Higher consciousness does give you messages, but it doesn't pretend to be anything else. It's trying to give you information on yourself. Higher consciousness sometimes does have to manipulate us on an ego standpoint to a degree to get, you know, critical information, but then the ego takes over, and then you never know if you're talking to the ego or to the higher consciousness. So if you go straight to the source, which is the dream state, which is the higher consciousness, the ego has nothing to do with it. The ego is asleep. The ego, you know, can't stick its finger in the pudding and stir it around. And so what you've got is a wonderful tool to use that can't be played with by the ego. Any other tool you use, whether it's a pendulum or cards or crystal balls, I mean, or tea leaves, the ego has some part in the interpretation of what you're getting, and because of that, it's skewed. Sometimes it's skewed a little, and sometimes it's just way whacked out. So the dream state is really a better direction to go, but it takes time. And it takes work. And a lot of us have trouble dedicating ourselves to that work and putting the energy into the work that it does take. It's real simple once you get going, but you have to, it's sort of like water. It will seek its pathway, and it will be very circuitous, and it will be a teeny little trickle. And then as the volume of water increases, then it becomes stronger and stronger and stronger until you have a volume that cannot be denied. But you have to work at getting the trickle first. And I would say most probably it's very appropriate to start with, you know, the dream state. Daydreaming is also considered the dream state, and it's really kind of interesting. It's said that the average human daydreams close to 50% in one's 50% of one's waking life is spent in daydreams. So again, you can get to that state where you kind of float, where you kind of let go, and your ego goes away, and you get symbols. And sometimes they're patterns, sometimes they're symbols, sometimes they're, you know, flashes like movies. Sometimes they are, you know, you are reworking a situation that didn't come out well. Every now and then I will find that I have a dream that is of a situation that happened in the past, and I'm working through how should I have handled it better, how could I have possibly done better, and it, you know, when you have those kind of recurring dreams, it's really important to pay attention. There's something there that was a lesson. There's something there that was supposed to be picked up. There's something there that was supposed to trigger your awareness and bring you into a better understanding of your reality. I guess a dream journal is really, really, really one of the most important things to do if you're going to work with this. And you basically, I mean, there are directions about praying and meditating and all of those work, all of those help. Okay, how about the way some people are halfway in the dream state and halfway out of it and get insight in the process? How to develop a technique of mastering that. Well, what you're talking about is probably lucid dreaming, and lucid dreaming is is really cool because you actually can manipulate it, and it does, it is a way of kind of putting situations in. It's mastering that. It's called lucid dreaming. You don't master it. You flow with it, and then it gives you information. You don't, you see, the thing is, if you are in control of something like this, you are not dreaming. It's your ego. If you are halfway in and halfway out of sleep and you are lucid dreaming, then your higher consciousness is talking to you. And in so doing, you should be paying attention to what's going on. Even if it's, it feels like, you know, even though you know you're awake, you're watching the dream, and that's lucid dreaming. Pay attention to what's going on. Pay attention to whatever symbols are there. It's sort of like, I've often said to you, because I know I've said it so many times, it feels like I've said it too many times, but there are subtleties in life, and if you pay attention to them, if you write them down, then you get more and more and more, because the universe, you know, you've opened a channel. Okay, just in the context of doing automatically without doubt. It's a matter of practice. Anything here is a matter of practice. And so what you want to do is set aside a time of day where you really are going to do this all the time, or you, whether it's every Wednesday night or every Tuesday morning or whatever it is. Getting in touch with that part of you has to, it takes work, it takes practice. It's not something that you know, is automatic, although now and then there are people out there that do get the, do are able to work with this automatically. For those of us who have, you know, read books and you know, oh, I'd like to do that, the reality is it's practice. It's like any type of skill or any type of athletic form. You have to get the muscles going. You have to create a pattern and a flow of energy. And without that flow of energy, all you're going to do is frustrate yourself. But it takes practice. It's like the writing that I gave you to do. If you're doing one a week, or if you're doing one a day, or whatever you've decided to do with it, it's the consistency of the process that opens the channel to the spiritual energy. So that if you want to really work with your dreams, you consistently, before you go to bed at night, say, I want to remember my dreams. And in the morning when you get up, you start writing. And, you know, I would have to go to the bathroom first. But you maybe put, maybe in my case, I would put the pencil and paper in the bathroom just to kill two birds with one stone. But it's a matter of consistency. And sometimes you will remember and sometimes you won't. But if you go to bed thinking, saying to yourself, whichever way you want to do it, I'm going to remember my dreams tonight. And then the first thing in the morning you wake up, and maybe you just get apples and oranges. And maybe that's appropriate. Nothing is too small to not interpret. So that if all you can think of is I don't know, bacon and eggs or whatever. I mean, it all has meaning, and the more you work with the meaning of the images and the symbols that you're getting, the more you're going to understand what's going on inside of you. Those of us in the field have spent a lot of time working on the consistency thing. Okay, I've used a voice recorder to dictate when I remember about my dreams. It seems to get it start saved that way. That's a great way. That's a great way to do it. And if you talk it and if you record it, I'd like to suggest that you actually transcribe it and write it down, because you're going to want to return to it over and over again to pull out symbols to understand what things mean. Sometimes, if you're seeing a house or a car, it's important to remember what kind, what color, and what condition it's in. I mean, you can take this down to the minutest details, and that's really you know, where you are pulling all of the material out of what your dream is giving you. That's where the importance is. Dreams give us a tremendous amount of information. Dreams can give us past life information about situations you're going through now. Dreams can give us precognitive stuff about what's coming in the future. But they won't give it to us if we try it for 2 days and then say, you know, forget this, it doesn't work. Deb is adding also many people with tablets now can use Google Docs to have it voice dictated and or on their smartphones. Yeah, the idea is to do it. It's very much like meditation. Meditation can really work well for you if you do it consistently. I hope all of you are seeing as we go along with all of the stuff that we're doing, about how so many of these different weeks, the stuff that we've talked about in previous weeks, kind of comes in and interacts and flows through. It all weaves together. And the first thing that is constant throughout almost everything is you're in charge. It's up to you. You have to take the first step and you have to provide the consistency. It's up to you. The second consistency is that all of these techniques, whether it's dreams or intuition or meditation or chakras that we're going to talk about next week, or it all interweaves. It's all a part of an amazing process. And the law of reflection comes in here as a matter of fact, with dreams, it is giving you a mirror to what's going on within your reality, what's going on within yourself, so that you get, they all work together is what I'm trying to say. And having just one aspect that you're working on more than others, I'd be grateful if you were doing that. but understanding that all of this is a school of creating a foundation for a pathway to self, greater self awareness. So you'll notice I've done away with light energy people because I've just done away with that phrase. It's now my now catchphrase is on a pathway to self awareness, because that's basically what we're doing. And we're stretching ourselves from the inside out as opposed to the outside in, so that we are going within. We're creating the foundation for the spiritual pathway, and every spirit will walk it differently. Every spirit will take other directions, but to have these tools at your to have these tools accessible to you, so that you understand you can gain information from your own higher consciousness without going to another person for that kind of advice, without relying on other people's wisdom, but relying on your own wisdom, because everybody carries within them an amazingly intelligent, accurate, wise, funny, they have to have a sense of humor. They're down here with human beings. We've got a perfect spirit inside of us, and to not access that material and to not use it is sad, because it takes away the richness of life if we don't allow it to flow in with all of the other aspects that are going on. I would say that the dreams especially are something that we want to focus on. As we come close to next week will be the last circle before we go into a break, and then we'll start again the second week of January. But I'm going to each week send each of you homework. I did so well with homework last time. But what I'm going to do is I'm going to, now that we're into the hour, I'm going to suggest or ask that each of you get a really cheap spiral notebook at Staples or whatever, a cheap spiral notebook so that you can scribble in it if you want to. And each week I'm going to send you an assignment, and it's going to mean that you're going to write every day a little bit, but you don't send it to me. It's just for you. And we're going to do the assignment 1 week will be that you write down your dreams. And the next week it'll be a grateful journal. In other words, you write down things that you're grateful for, and you can't repeat, you know, you know, I'm grateful I got up this morning. That doesn't count. But I'm trying to, when I learned how to do all of this, it was subtly done, and I didn't actually know what was being done. I just know what happened and the result of it, and the result of it is sitting right here. So what I'm trying to do is to give you a reason to be creative every day for just 15 or 20 minutes, because that constitutes a channel for creativity. It opens you to greater creativity, whether you're writing down gratitude stuff, whether you're writing down dreams, whether you're checking out chakras and seeing, you know, what chakras are open in most people and what chakras are not. If it has to do with intuition, I will give you something each week that every day I would like you to write something in. And if you, now, this works, but it only works for you as hard as you work for it. So that it's absolutely up to you. You don't have to do it. It's not a requirement. There's no, though I am a school teacher, I certainly am not grading you. And it will help you to open that channel. Those of you that sit in this group are obviously on a pathway to self-awareness. You're looking for tools. You're looking for ways to understand the whole process. And that's why Deb and I sit here, because we're all in the same boat. It's, you know, I seem to be the one that does the talking, but then I'm the oldest, so that's okay. But it's important that you sort of make time each day, 15 minutes, not a lot. You can squeeze it between commercials on television if you want to. I would like you to, you know, do it in another way. But do this as an exercise to open yourself to greater self-awareness within yourself. And certainly we waste enough time as it is that something like this should be something very easy to do. So, and Deb's talking about having a tape recorder going on underneath your pillow. It does work. You can subliminally input information into your mind easily that way as well. But it has to be consistent. It's not a one-shot deal. I will tell you right now, it's not a one-shot deal. If you're going to consistently work on this pathway to self-awareness, then, you know, and it may take years, but the reality is you're going to see the benefits to it almost immediately. You're going to find that your perception shifts. You're going to find that there is a greater richness in your life. I cannot tell you how exciting it is when all of this clicks together. Now, you don't know it all, but you have some ideas too. It works. And, you know, when you hit the place that you can say, son of a gun, look at that. I really did tap into that higher consciousness. There's something going on here. When you hit that part, then the commitment is easy because you've seen the results. Right now you're going on faith. And as I said, this will work for you if you work with it. And that's the simple thing. We're all adults here. And it's hard as a person trying to impart wisdom to stand back and not say, you know, jump up and down and say, you have to do it, you have to do it, you have to do it. You don't. It's your choice. And it's your pathway. And it's the way that you are going to work with this material. The stuff on dreaming I found it fascinating because, you know, if you go back to Atlantis, there are those that view themselves, you know, at Atlantis in the final days, and it may well be because time is, you know, we go into string theory, the past, present, and future are all happening at the same time. So you may well have been there, but it's important to understand that the dream state is a state in which you can do a lot. You can fly. You can transport yourself to other places. You can do distant viewing. You can do all sorts of amazing things. All you have to do is program yourself before you go to sleep. And once you've done that, then your consciousness goes to sleep. It really goes into sleep mode. And when it goes into sleep mode, then higher consciousness comes in and has the whole playground to itself. So it can give you the information that you need to have. It can give you symbols that you need. And I gave you a lot of the meaning of a lot of the different symbols. And frankly, I think some of them go into such detail that it's unbelievable. But I would take the blanket meanings and then tailor it to your own self. Sometimes if you dream of losing teeth, sometimes it means that, you know, friendships are breaking up or you're losing, you know, people are drifting out of your life. It doesn't mean you're losing your teeth. I don't know what would be symbolic for you losing your teeth, but I'll have to ask myself in dream state. but there are so many different ways of using dreams, and we touched in with a lot of them. The law of reflection, I keep going back to because it does work with dreams, and it feels as though, you know, it's important for you to understand how there is definitely a commonality, a synchronicity about what's going on in your dreams and what's going on in your reality within yourself. So do understand that sometimes when there are difficulties you're working through, your dreams will give you a clue as to the best way to handle them, the best way to work your way through them, the best way to overcome them or address them. And if you pay attention, if you write things down, you'll find that you get incredible wisdom from them. Just last night, it not only applies to the dream state, it applies to symbology within your physical reality as well. Once you understand the symbols within the dream state, they become a tool to use to interpret the waking state as well. Just last night, I had Jen Young on my radio show, and she was talking about, she goes out for long walks, and three times now she's fallen off the pathway and been hurt, and it became apparent that it was symbolic that the pathway she was walking within this reality was possibly not the one that at this time she should be walking. And you know, you take a look at these things that happen. The universe has a very incredible way of subtly giving us hints within our waking state and within our dream state. And if we pay attention to them, it's amazing. They can write a book. I'm not feeding you yet. No. I apologize for the cat. So it's important that we kind of take a look at the symbols that come to us in our dreams and take a look at what those symbols mean to us and, you know, absolutely check out the dream dictionaries, which I was not going to print up because nobody would have downloaded that if I had. So but do understand that each of these classes, while they are a class unto themselves or a circle unto themselves, they all have connections. They're all connected. This is, you know, a spiritual pathway has many, many different kinds of places to sit and ponder, and the dream state is one of the most amazing. It does allow us to understand ourselves to a far greater degree, and it's somebody someplace in all of this material said that the daydreams especially were an amazing form of psychoanalysis, and it's true if you're honest with yourself. So you know, it's sort of, You can trigger a daydream easily. The directions are all here, and you know, ask for symbols and you'll get them. You know, not all of them will have meaning, but you can definitely ask for help, ask for direction, and it does come, and the symbols are there. They go through a lot of, you know, general things, and it's interesting because creativity, inspiration, often come through the dream state. We often get all sorts of forms of inspiration through dreams. They sort of it sort of wakes up a memory for us of something that we've promised ourselves. And once it hits the dream state, then there's a symbol there, and if we catch it, if we write it down, it will awaken that memory within us when we are awake, whether it's to write a book, whether it's to create a painting or to paint a room a different color, because the color will vibrate in another frequency and it'll take us into a greater sense of self. I mean, there's so many different ways we can use this material, and it's important that we you know, taste all of the possibilities that are there for us. So often we just let things slide by. So often we don't pay attention to situations. Sometimes a situation occurs in our life and we feel like, you know, everybody's beaten up on us, but the reality isn't that at all. The reality is there's a message here for us to learn, and you can grab that in dream state. You can ponder it in dream state. You can ask for help in interpreting it from dream state. Dream state is amazing, but it takes practice. I'm sure that I'm hopeful that everybody gets, you know, a lot of material out of all this and is able to utilize it really, really fast. But, you know, there are those of us that it takes a lot more work. It took me a long time to get this down. And even so, it takes a while to get back into it. This is not an area that I have found incredibly productive for me, and yet when I've done it consistently, it has been. It's just that I keep forgetting to be consistent with it, and when you're not consistent, it just doesn't work. But practice. It is amazing. It's like meditation. You slip into it more easily every time you do it. It's like any form of exercise. You slip easily into it the more that you do it. And that's why when we're on break, I will be sending you exercises to do each week, and I'll send them on Monday, and then the next Monday I'll send you another, and we'll do that until we get to second week in January, when circles start again. But what this will do is it will keep you sort of with your finger in the pot, so to speak. I don't want to lose the consistency that we've got here, even though my voice deserted me. But I have my voice back, so I think we're all good. Next week we are going to do chakras, and I'm going to, I think, shock some of you with some of the information. It's interesting. Everybody's concept of the chakras is different, so we're going to have fun with that one. We're going to close early tonight because I have to rescue a living room from cats that have gone crazy. But do keep a dream journal. Do try keeping a dream journal, and don't get overwhelmed by the material I sent you. But do understand that daydreaming and dreaming is you can all laugh. I have to pick up pieces of plants and lamps and all sorts of stuff. Would I talk about the meridians? Sure, we can talk about the meridians. Don't know that we can do it right now, but absolutely, we'll talk about the ley lines. We'll talk about meridians. We have a whole bunch coming up starting in January. I'm lining up some Native Americans, indigenous peoples, to talk about their stories of creation and the spiritual aspects of their belief systems and their culture, which should be fascinating. And there are a lot of other people I'm going to bring in to talk on different subjects with us to share their information. And so it's going to be, I'm looking forward to January. But, you know, we have chakras next week. And if you aren't familiar with them, there is a lot of chakra information on my website. I'm not going to copy and paste that onto something and send it out to you. If you want to look up chakras on my website, go for it. It's under Cosmic Deck of Initiation. And that material is just there, so I don't see any sense in replicating it. But I am going to give you a lot more information about where they came from, what they really and truly mean, and the fact that, hold on to your chairs here, colors weren't put onto the chakras until the 70s when Ledbetter did it. So the colors were not always on the chakras. So we're going to close now because I'm having a catastrophe here. But keep dream journals. Work with the dream stuff. And you know, if you have questions, you can always contact me. I will always be happy to respond to you. So I'm closing because I have chaos going on here. And if anybody has any questions, feel free to call me or email me or whatever, and I will get back to you, and I will see you all next week for chakras, please, because chakras are one of the favorite things I have to talk about, and I have a lot of information to share with you there. So for now, guys, good night, and thanks for being here.